Matthew 2, verse 1 to 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Please take a seat and kind of welcome you again, especially if you joined us since the start of our carol service. As I said, my name's Kev. I'm the vicar of Euston Church, and it's so, so good to welcome you as you join us for our Christmas celebrations. I need some of the young people just help me out with something at the start here, okay? So you're not allowed to speak for this, so it's just your actions. You can use your hands, your facial expressions, head, shoulders, knees and toes, whatever you want. It's about how you would react on seeing different people that I'm going to mention, okay? So remember, no words, it's just your physical reactions with your body parts, okay? So how would you react if you saw a friend of yours walking on the other side of the street? Yeah, nice friendly wave. Okay, that's good. What would you do if you saw a dragon? Okay, range of reactions. So someone willing to front up with some punching of the dragon here. Some just looking quite surprised. A footballer, how would you react if you saw a footballer? Cool, yeah. Show them your skills, great. A baby? What would be it? Exactly, coochie coo. That's very good. Now here, this one is quite special because the person is actually here. How would you react if you saw the king? Well done. Well, he's not military. I don't know if you have to, is it a bow or is it a, what do you do? Thank you. Well, very good. Very respectful. Not sure what happened to the Queen's face, but we won't worry about that. Rory, maybe you just take that for me and put it down nicely. Just put it on the floor. Is that disrespectful? I don't know. Send me to the tower. Anyway, don't stand on him. Don't stand on him. Yeah, very good. Well, you might do, it was kind of nice little short bows. You might do a short bow for a short time if you saw the king. But the wise men, did you see them in the little video? They fell down and worshipped Jesus. And that just can seem very strange. I mean, people do strange things at Christmas, don't they? People who normally wear very sensible clothes suddenly wear jumpers that are unacceptable the rest of the time. People who never go shopping suddenly find themselves in the shops. Strange things happen at Christmas. And the wise men, they did something that seems quite strange. They were probably government officials. They'd come from the east, maybe from Babylon. That's a place that's been mentioned a few times in the first part of Matthew's gospel. And the star that they've been following was the sign to them of a totally special birth. And their reaction, well, it's just quite extreme, isn't it? First of all, in sentence one, the fact that they've travelled all this way. You know, there's a Scottish band called The Proclaimers, and they have a song that said, I will walk 500 miles, and I will walk 500 more, just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to beat down at your door. It's basically about a bloke who walks 1,000 miles to see a girl. Isn't that stupid? I mean, would you walk? Who'd walk 1,000 miles just to see a girl? None of you would do it, would you? You'd be crazy to do that. Well, here is a baby worth travelling across continents for. And then the reaction when they see him, they rejoice exceedingly. Sentence 11, going into the house, they fell down and worshipped him. And even the gifts that they've brought are not from Amazon Prime. Someone remind me what the gifts were? Gold. What was the second one? Frank who? Frankincense. And myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gifts fit for a king. A king, they said in verse 2. And if you think this is all a bit of an extreme response, some of the words of our carols are quite extreme, aren't they? Come, let us adore him. Why should we adore this baby? Well, because he's a king. He's the special one that God had long ago promised to be born in Bethlehem. The prophecy quoted in sentence 6 told us. And Bethlehem was just a little village outside the big city. So if you think London and we're in zone 1, Bethlehem is zone... Is there a zone 9? Bethlehem's in zone 9, basically. It's way, way out in the backwater. And, you know, it's just like God to want to work through something that seems nothing, seems weak, to bring about his cosmic purposes. This baby is the Christ, we're told. That means Messiah. Call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Forgiveness, friendship with God, forever. Wouldn't that be good? The Christ was born to make that possible. And he's a ruler as well. When you go back into where that quote comes from in the Old Testament, it tells us that he's going to be a ruler who's going to bring peace and justice for all the nations. That's why it's so appropriate that these wise men have come from the ends of the earth to celebrate the king who's going to be the bringer of peace and justice to all the earth. And then the third thing we're told is that he is a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Yeah? Looks after sheep. And it's not just the sheep that's the point. The point is the looking after. See, a shepherd leader speaks of looking after, of rescuing, guiding, providing, caring. You know, there's a bit later on in Matthew's gospel where Jesus looks at the crowds and he says they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he has compassion on them. It's beautiful. That's the kind of leader Jesus is, one who comes in compassion. Not a ruler who's a burden on us, but one who will carry us in all our burdens. At the end of Matthew, Jesus says he has all authority over all the nations and commands all obedience. Well, here at the beginning of his gospel, we get this vivid picture of these travelers from the nations. They recognize his kingly authority and they offer utter loyalty and devotion. Matthew thinks this is the appropriate response for all of us. And it's a challenge when you see what their all-in disciple worship looks like. Because we don't naturally worship God. We see that in King Herod. He was troubled. He wanted the baby dead. I don't know if you'll... Will anyone wear one of these? Will you wear these tomorrow? Maybe you'll wear these. Well, Herod doesn't want Jesus to be the king because he doesn't want Jesus to take his crown. And we're all a bit like that naturally, aren't we? 7.8 billion of us on the planet, all trying to wear the crown at the same time, all wanting to be the one in charge, all listening to voices that are other voices than God's as we try to work out what to do. It leaves us very lost. You know, we see a lot of lostness in our world, don't we? A lot of lostness. And if we're honest, we feel that lostness personally as well. Well, God's answer to our problems, our world's problems, is a shepherd king. Not at all like Herod, who would kill to serve himself. Jesus is a king who will die to save his people from their sins. But part of him saving me is letting him wear the crown. You know, it is either or at the end of the day. Are you more like Herod or the wise men? Worship Jesus or resist him? It is the defining question for every human being. And the fact that we maybe think those are both extreme reactions suggests maybe we bought into a version of the Christ who's much blander, than the one Matthew is introducing us to. These wise men, they show us the right response. There they are again. Worship. It's such a strong word. Deep devotion. And I think it's part of the problem with focusing on the baby. Babies are cute, but you don't tend to judge great world leaders by what they looked like in a nappy. Small baby. Huge Christ, who has ambitions for you and me that are way beyond our very limited hopes and dreams. He wants to forgive us, and I'm relieved about that because I need forgiveness. I've not been a very good worshipper. He wants to lead us in forgiveness, friendship with God forever. Wouldn't that be good? You know, being a worshipper, it's not mainly about pilgrimages or bringing extravagant gifts to church. Often it looks more like Joseph's quiet obedience that we see here again and again. Listening to Jesus is the beginning of worship. Saying sorry for the ways we've failed to worship is the beginning of worship. But the wise men raise the bar for all of us. Can't do Christianity with caveats or indifference. It's on bended knee. And you know, that is supposed to be a joy. There was joy as they bowed before him in verse 10 because Jesus is so good. And bowing down at his shepherdly leadership is to be led in ways that are only good for us. You'd need to read on in Matthew to be sure of why. But many here would testify that it's been much better for our lives to be led by Jesus' good shepherding than just wander around in our own lostness. Millions down the ages, actually, and through the world today, have found worship to be the appropriate response to Jesus Christ. One person who did was Queen Victoria. Thank you, Victorians, for the Christmas trees and all the other cool stuff that we continue to do. She looked forward to meeting Jesus, she said. She hoped he would come back during her lifetime so that she could cast her crown before the true king. That's quite an intense response to the Christ child. But we're all devoted to something, aren't we? Bowing to the altar of something. I wonder what makes you nervous about devoting yourself to Jesus. A Christ born to forgive me. A shepherd born to carry me into eternal blessings, if only I'll trust him. This is Christmas, and I am so grateful. Thank you, Lord. So whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you've done, behold your king in the manger. Worship him, and for sure he will embrace you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess our failure to worship you rightly. And we thank you so much for Jesus, your Christ and our good shepherd king. May it be our joy to worship him this Christmas. Remembering those in our city without families and homes this year. And we thank you for agencies and churches offering food and friendship over these next few days. Remembering particularly our partners at London City Mission, help them to provide practical care and the hope of the gospel to many marginalised people in London. Also lifting up those whose lives are far from peace this Christmas, particularly remembering those in Gaza, Israel, and in Ukraine. Please, God, end the bloodshed soon. May those who govern in those places do so with a sense of their accountability to you. And we long for the day when Jesus' leadership brings true peace and justice for all the nations of this broken world. Come soon, please, Lord Jesus. Amen.